Good morning. Today is Tuesday, June the 27th. Joining us this morning. Now, are you calling yourself a reformed Arcadian?
A recovering councilman?
Yeah.
That's a good word for it.
Mark Wheatley out of Fortuna. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning.
Had a little fun with Karen on Friday.
Good.
Karen Deemer.
Uh-huh.
Now, peer Karen Deemer rather than... Yeah,
that's right. She's an excellent city manager.
Yeah, she had relative positive comments for you too. Our quote this morning. Let's see if we can find something that's a little deeper than normal. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. It's done me good to be somewhat parched by the heat and drenched by the rain of life. All right, that's a little heavy. But you know what? I sense that we might be kind of pointing towards budget talk, so we need a little something there to
make budget look light. We're past the reins at this point. So
Kidding. First question, has there been any relief with your situation with the county in the sphere of influence and the pot farms right up against the city limits?
Unfortunately, the pace has still continued. So we actually just had a notification of another zoning clearance being issued, which is right up on the edge of a neighborhood up by Knob Hill area.
Another one.
And we did ask for some mitigation in terms of some of the impacts on the neighborhood in terms of odor and lighting and we will see where this goes. But
I heard, and I'm not protecting anybody because I don't do a good job of that. But somebody had told me that a recommendation from one of the supervisors was plant some bushes so you don't see it. Have you heard that one?
I have not heard that personally, but it would not surprise me given the way things have been tracking out here, unfortunately, because it's right on the edge of a neighborhood that there is no way, shape, or form I think that would be an appropriate location. So
is the concern falling on deaf ears?
I think the county got themselves into a pickle hill and got a little too permissive and allowed it all the way up to the edge. And if they had step back and provided an adequate buffer. They're trying to increase setbacks in their new revised zoning ordinance. But, you know, I think we talked before, but several counties are looking at buffers around jurisdictions up to a quarter mile or a mile. So a setback of a few hundred feet is not adequate in our opinion.
Do you sense that the storm clouds are beginning to form?
Yes, I think so. And
yeah,
attorneys circling.
I'm seeing fangs and claws and digging in, and hey, this could be kind of an interesting fall.
Yeah, it could be.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning. You're on the shopping show. Okay, fine. Wrong day. It's 8:23. Mark Wheatley's with us on Talk Shop. It's interesting, Mark, as we're thinking about some of the different applications of the interaction between rules and determinations at the county level and what cities or special districts have to deal with. Is there an opportunity, like with this, to appeal anywhere? Or is this like with the Coastal Commission? There really is no place to go other than taking it in the courts. And nobody likes doing that because it costs time and money. And, you know, it's like going to arbitration. You know, I'm telling you how not good you are today. But yesterday you were a heck of a ball player, and tomorrow you're going to be also. But right now you're an underperforming asset. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, there's lingering impacts of all of this stuff. Do you sense that that's where we're going to end up with some of this?
You know, I'm hopeful. I mean, unfortunately, I think some of the situations that I'm seeing that are springing up as a direct result out of, you know, some of the, you know, land use decisions that the county's been making is they're headed towards litigation. So individual property owners are faced with no other choice but to pursue litigation to remedy it.
You think like a class action lawsuit, or do you think it's a bunch of ducks nibbling and there's going to be all these individual lawsuits?
I could easily foresee it moving in that direction. Right now, it's a, you know, almost project by project, neighborhood by neighborhood, you know, impacts or violations of neighboring, you know, property owners, CC&Rs, and that sort of thing.
That's what I was wondering, if it could be applied, even though it's across the line into a different jurisdiction.
But it really gets, it's about, you know, local land use and land use in local control. And that's the part that I think is the failure here is that, and recognizing that it impacts, it could be any other land use activity too, and the impacts being imposed on a neighboring jurisdiction as a result of one jurisdiction's decision to move forward with a certain kind of land use activity is impactful.
You were on the fill-in-the-blank city council
mm-hmm.
when they were talking about the goat farm, right?
Correct.
Okay, for the cheese.
Correct.
Folks. And that was an already existing use, but the neighborhood said, do you have any other choices? And the city council opted to go in that direction, right? And support the neighborhood.
Correct. Well,
okay. So is there a parallel argument that could be made for the situation with the county and saying, look, you got all these voters here that are saying, and you're going against their will. Why not do what we did before and be the good neighbor and step back and make it so that these neighbors aren't negatively impacted?
And in that case, I was actually supportive of that project because it was it was consistent with the zoning. It was an agricultural use already existing. They, in my opinion, demonstrated the ability to manage it appropriately. So, council at the time chose to sort of weigh in. We didn't have any jurisdiction. It was a county's project, but
similar to this,
similar
county,
correct, correct. So you know, the difference being that this is not pre-existing use. You know, this isn't going on right now, and all of a sudden it's like night and day. Suddenly you wake up the next day and you've got a new structure that smells awful funny and glows at night next door to you. And so that's the part that I think is rubbing people.
If it was a normal commercial application, let's say somebody's looking at the old mill site. Okay. And that's within the city limits, so you've got total control on this thing. Aren't there light standards?
Correct.
Noise standards?
Correct.
Emission standards?
Yep.
Water standards, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Standards that have to be abided by that have been agreed to by everybody in the neighborhood.
Right. And there's a whole regulatory process you would go through, and all those mitigation measures would be lined up and required of the applicant. You know, right now it's a, you know, ministerial permit where it's just a sign off on the, you know, checkbox kind of approach, and you get issued your zoning clearance and you're good to go. Which is really fundamentally a problem with this whole process. So we've not only asked for a moratorium of issuance of permits in any sphere of influence, but also a buffer around that. And then anything that's in that zone would be subject to a conditional use permit. So you could line up those kinds of mitigation measures.
How's that been received?
We'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. So they're in that process right now. They're revising their ordinance.
To the county building?
To the Board of Supervisors and to the Planning Commission.
And to the Planning Commission.
Okay. And they are in the process of developing their environmental document for their program. And so we will see.
Wasn't that supposed to have been done before you put the standards in place?
That might have been a better approach, because I think we could have avoided much of the struggles we're dealing with today.
Now, we heard the news story yesterday that Woods and McGuire have put something together at the state level as part of the pot police at the state. Is that going to provide any relief in this scenario or not?
It will not in this direct scenario. I think the jurisdictional conflicts are separate from where they're going with the bill that's before the governor, I believe. That's on the larger landscape. So,
time will tell.
That's right.
It's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mark Wheatley, Fortuna City Manager. Mark, month of July coming around the corner. You guys have got, well, it's kind of like your signature month.
It is. It's
The car show and with the bulls and the horsies.
You got it. We kick it off with the fireworks festival on the July 3rd, which is a spectacular event. It's usually clear and sunny in Fortuna for the fireworks.
You're not going to start doing that sunny thing always in Fortuna, are you? Okay.
I just went down to the Special Olympics tournament last weekend in Davis, and it was about 108 degrees, I think. And so, yeah.
But the event
I was must thankful
have been
to get back.
The event must have been a kick in the pants.
It was great. It was great. My son's a swimmer, so.
Oh, yeah, very neat.
It's
very
summer
neat.
Games. It's a.
He doesn't swim in the eel, though, does he?
Not lately. But it's, the fireworks thing is obviously it's the big celebration for Independence Day, and it's a kid-friendly event, barbecue, music, fireworks, vendors, the whole nine yards.
Food.
Food.
All right.
Fun. There's a whole bunch of stuff for kids to do, and that's from 5:30, and I think the show's at about 10:30 that evening. So since it's getting dark so late these days.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and you don't have to worry about the fog rolling in Ferndale.
Exactly.
Serves as a nice buffer, don't they?
It does. It does indeed. And, many a time watching them go up over Humboldt Bay and watching the clouds glow.
Yeah. So. You hear it.
Yeah. Yeah, you hear it. Exactly. And then of course, then the week of the 10th is the rodeo, and all kinds of great stuff going on around that. Big chili cook-off starts on the Monday night, the 10th, and then there's actually a big bullfighter event on the 15th. So there's and everything in between. So there's all kinds of stuff going on. It's a group of Mexican bullfighters that they're bringing in for this thing. That it's pretty incredible. I guess they go all over the country doing this, and so that's supposed to be a pretty spectacular show. There's a
There's nothing like seeing a pair of horns coming at you.
Yeah,
see somebody voluntarily out there. It's mind-boggling.
Go to the Fortuna Rodeo website. There's a little clip on there, and I'm just like amazed. Even though they're doing it in slow motion, the big, large animal coming at you with horns. Not my idea of a fun time.
And not with a smile on his face either.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So then, and then the week after that is Autorama, of course. So that will be another fun event. So yeah, it's July is the it is the summer high season in Fortuna. So
has Autorama hit capacity? Could it be bigger?
You know,
I don't know. I mean,
that's a good question. You know, they've it's incredibly popular, and folks come from all over for it. And I think you know, that there could be ways to expand that.
It kind of really takes over the town.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It kind of seems like it would be, it'd have to get out of Fortuna to get bigger.
Yeah.
Well, then that doesn't make it what it is.
It's true. I don't know if it becomes a, you know, like a moving festival like the Kinetic Race or something where you could, you know, it could span further.
Yeah, or like those touring cars,
right,
the road race guys.
Right.
They have the time thing, and they go segment to segment.
Yeah, we watch them coming up, or, you know, like we just had the Redwood Run down south, so you see all the motorcycles coming north and south. So,
what's the status? This is related somehow. Give me a sec. What's the status with the old mill site, the old PL site in town? Is there activity going with that?
It is still owned by folks in Scotia, so we are looking at a number of economic options out there, and trying to put pieces together. There's a potential of a small diameter mill site potentially going on out there that would do some high value production, and then, you know, everything else in between. So we're still kicking around that, running the numbers, and the investor that was looking at that has done a lot of work on how that would happen here. There seems to be a market, seems to be material, and it seems to be a niche that he could go into, and it would be a big job generator for us. So,
well, here's the connector. If that parking lot was opened, there's your expansion spot.
Yeah.
You could really have not only downtown, but also have another area for maybe the big fancy commercial trucks,
right,
that some of these guys have gotten, kind of add another component to it.
Right.
Of course, if your hotels are full, that kind of becomes problematic also to bring in more people.
Right.
But that kind of thing, were a little bit larger rigs.
Yeah.
That's where I was going.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
But
yeah.
Thanks for the share.
Hey, that's a great idea. We'll look into that.
Yeah. Yeah. Get somebody out there to knock down the pampas grass. KINS, news and information. Probably need a coastal permit. It's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Mark Wheatley.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, news and information time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mark Wheatley. Mark, what's the budget look like?
Budgets, we're running a little bit late this year because I'm new and our finance director's new, and so we're going to be approving our budget here probably in the end of August is when we anticipate. We're looking good. So
do you just roll over the current?
We roll over, okay. Correct, and then do a continuing resolution. And we're in the final stages of putting the pieces together right now. You know, we have about a $6 million budget, and we have about a $400,000 to $500,000 shortfall right now. So we're closing that gap. But the good news is, the voters approved Measure E last year, and with the intent to try and close that gap and meet some of our other public safety and programs for kids and seniors in the community and parklands. So we're moving in that direction. So
are you waiting to see what the tax dollars are? Is that part of that fill-in, or what the state's going to do also? I mean, certainly those are variables that are in the equation along with the bed tax.
Correct.
To kind of get a sense of where things are. Are those things you're looking to fill that?
We are. And good news is our tax consultants that have been looking across all sectors in our local economy are all of our sectors are up in all categories across the board, which is that's a good sign of a healthy local economy, and it's not an anomaly of one spiking for some unknown reason. So that's encouraging. We project Measure E funds could be about 1.2 to 1.5 million on an annual basis, and it's an 8-year tax measure. So we're hopeful to be able to put that to close the gap, get our structural deficit in order, and then be able to do some good things with that. So
can you grow your way out of it?
We could. You know, there's some exciting projects coming online. The Open Door Clinic is under construction right now, and that's a big facility. That'll be a great new addition to the community. McLean Foundation is got a $20 million, you know, plus project that they're anticipating to break ground on in August, and that's going to be a kind of a health-focused community center for seniors and youth, and potential for some new soccer fields coming out of that, in addition to a place where a lot of programs can be housed and supported. So,
how is the deferred maintenance? I know the county this morning is looking at, do we just have too many buildings? You know, is it time to get rid of and consolidate and to do? Is that a regular exercise that Fortuna has done in the past, is just to look at and see, do we need all these things?
Those facilities are in the private sector, so those aren't anything I just mentioned. Those are all in the private sector, so those are not going to be our O&M costs. However, our facilities, we don't have a lot other than River Lodge is our large asset out there. We just did an upgrade at our parks buildings over in Newburgh Park, so things are looking good there. But you know, we're mindful of that, and for the most part, things are in order. I think our big unknown out there down the line is going to be stormwater improvements. You know, the what you don't see under the roads. And this winter, we saw a few of those. So
all that sexy stuff.
Yeah, all that. When the sinkholes come and you have a crushed pipeline and a road, you know, it gets people's attention.
That's when you get paid.
That's right.
Thanks for coming by. See everybody tomorrow.